Hey, this is Brian Akar, host of Why I Left, here to let you know about an important cause for which I'm fundraising and need your support. Child trauma occurs more than you think. More than two-thirds of children reported at least one traumatic event by age 16. Since 1979, the Advocate Childhood Trauma Treatment Program has provided a range of specialized services for the treatment of and healing from experiences of trauma in the Chicago area. Knowing people who have experienced childhood trauma, I'm aware of its lasting impact. That's why, on October 13th, 2024, I'm back running the Chicago Marathon again, representing Advocate Health as a member of the charity running team and fundraising to benefit the program. Please visit the show notes and click the link for Be Run Chicago to donate to this cause. I appreciate any support that you could provide. Now, let's get to this week's episode. Thank you. Welcome to Why I Left, a podcast that explores the Great Resignation. I'm your host, Brian Akar. Join me as I chronicle real stories from real people about the reasons they decided to leave their jobs during the pandemic and what has happened since. Hello, and thanks for tuning into this episode of the Why I Left podcast. In today's episode, I chat with Marguerite Thibodeau. Marguerite is a leadership coach, consultant, and founder of Magnanimous Leadership. She's passionate about empowering leaders to lead with humanity and purpose. Now, after years of leading teams and projects in the HR industry for a Fortune 100 company, she decided it was time for a change and joined the Great Resignation. Let's go hear her story. All right. Hello. So our guest today is Marguerite Thibodeau. Marguerite is the founder of Magnanimous Leadership, where she provides coaching, training, and consulting to clients. She's driven to helping the world find more happiness and fulfillment through her work and takes the humanistic approach when tackling issues. So hi, Marguerite. How are you doing today?
Fabulous. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I appreciate you joining me today. And so obviously this show is about the Great Resignation, and we're definitely going to talk about how you entered into that space. But before we do, we'd love for you to tell us a little bit about yourself and your upbringing and where you're currently located.
Sure. I am originally from Houston, Texas. I've traveled quite a bit and moved along the Gulf Coast and East Coast for about the last 10 years. And then my husband and I just recently moved to Colorado Springs and call that home now.
Very nice. Now, what's been your passion in the work that you do?
What I've always kind of come back to, no matter where I've kind of bounced around in my career, has always been helping people show up the way that they want, right? Whether that was teaching them new skills, be able to show up in class the way they want, or all the way through kind of the corporate version of that with training, learning and development, talent transformation projects. And then I had a couple bumps along the way where I also did other things outside of learning, like commercial underwriting. And even then I realized my focus was really helping business owners show up the way they wanted to. So it all kind of circled back until it culminated in what I'm doing now with leadership, coaching, and consulting.
Very nice. And I'd love to learn, we'll learn more about that a little bit later. But, you know, prior to starting your own company, describe your work journey and really what's worked well in the environments you've been a part of.
Sure. So I just gave you a little snippet of kind of where I had bounced around in my career. But the thing that really has stuck out to me as working really well, no matter what environment I was in, was curiosity. It helped me really understand what the issue was in front of me, no matter what job title I technically had at the time. And it also helped build relationships so that you could really get into the nitty-gritty, find teams that really trusted each other, and really get meaningful work done. Those relationships also helped me kind of bounce around to new projects and new cool stuff over the years too.
Very nice. And what type of industry have you been a part of for, you know, the past few years? What have you been up to?
Mm-hmm. Before starting my own company, I was most recently at a major bank. So I was in finance for almost the last decade. I was there for about 8 years.
Okay. And so, you know, kind of moving into the COVID piece. So in March of 2020, really the world starts to shut down. And so you're in the financial services space. So how did the pandemic really affect you?
Oh, yes. It's funny you mentioned that, because before this, I was reflecting on, 2020, 2021, and realized of all the things in the world that shut down, right, back in 2020, the one thing that nobody stopped wanting was access to their money. Right. So while a lot of people ended up furloughed or had less work to do, my team and myself ended up working literally all day long, right, to make sure that new programs were stood up, like the Paycheck Protection Program. I worked on that project and make sure that just normal run the engine things kept happening, right, so that people could use their credit cards, people could access their money. And so the first couple months of the pandemic for us was really wake up, you get coffee, you go sit down in front of your laptop. Maybe you'll take breaks to get food. There were definitely times I texted my fiance to bring me food because I was still in meetings. And then you go to sleep, get up, do it all over again.
And so this was, clearly a time of a lot of transition. Anything that you learned during the pandemic?
Oh, so many things, right? I think we all learned a lot about ourselves during the pandemic and what was really important to us, how much stress we could tolerate. I learned to give myself an information diet far more strictly during the pandemic. I really stay away from things that were going to emotionally drain me or stress me out or upset me. So really trying to, in a new way, learn to balance being informed versus just being sane,
That makes sense. And so I noticed that you actually went back to school during the pandemic as well, or you were in school around this time. How was that during all the madness that was going on?
So for me, I actually really enjoy learning new things, building new things. That's kind of why I've bounced around quite a bit in my career. I'll kind of go build something as a project. Once that's built, I get it to a stable state and move on to the next thing to build. And so timing wise, it really worked out where my last major talent transformation project actually was winding up February of 2020. We were like 95% done and transitioning into how to help that department move into a stable state. And then of course, pandemic happens. There's new projects to build, like helping set up our bank's Paycheck Protection Program. And that lasted several months. And by end of summer-ish, I finally said, you know what, if I'm going to go back to school and get my graduate certificate in coaching, now's the time. We're all stuck at home, right? Might as well make my evenings worth something other than just staring at the TV. So I registered for school, and then all of a sudden I was working full time and doing that, which actually felt like a little bit of a break at first after that initial wake up work until you go back to sleep phase for a little while. So that transition actually worked out quite nicely as far as like work school timing went. But that also means I did not get my own like make your own sourdough phase during pandemic. My time was spent on other things.
You know what's funny about that? I've been doing a lot of intro calls for guests on the show, and I was talking with a woman who had mentioned the same thing about they got their sourdough kit, they started their garden. And so this sourdough trend was huge. So I didn't get in on it either, but I heard it was a lot of fun. So now I think you're going through this time, you're in school, you're at work. So how did the pandemic start to affect the relationship with your job?
I think the bigger component of affecting my relationship with my work was a combination of timing and just sheer exhaustion, right? Like the timing was I had finished a project. I was naturally going to start looking for something else to do. Of course, pandemic projects popped up, including, Paycheck Protection Program and then other little side projects I gave myself, supporting other managers who had never worked remote before, had to lead people remote before. I built some things for them to share my knowledge and experience, help them make that transition. And eventually, even transitioning out of that, you're still taking care of your team. You're still taking care of people around you at home and at work. And so I was looking for something to do. I was becoming increasingly more exhausted, right? Because of the people component and because I now was working in kind of a run the engine space, which a lot of people would consider very convenient during a pandemic. But for me, that doesn't really fill my tank, Right. So for me, it was just slowly like wearing me down until spring of 2021. So about a year after the pandemic officially started here in the States, I finally realized like, you know what? It's time for me to go do something totally new and just rip the Band-Aid off.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. And so you're at this prior company for, like you said, around 8 years. Springish 2021. So let's say, you know, March, April, you know, you just say, hey, it's time for me to leave. So what was that like? And really, why did you decide to leave your job during the pandemic? And when did you finally leave that role?
Mm-hmm. The reason why is it was that exhaustion. And I realized I needed more than simply a job title change or a new program to build. You know, I really needed something totally different to like reset, take a step back, and work on stuff that was truly fulfilling to me, which is at the moment working with leaders. I've mentioned I finally made that decision in spring, and I kind of perked up when you asked when I finally left, because I think I mentioned this to you before. My transition out of my role was actually over 2 months long, because I gave notice in April, very beginning of April, and didn't leave until mid-June. And the reason I did that was I wanted to make sure that I had the opportunity to really lead the transition for my team. They had already gone through so much in the last year. Losing their manager was going to be another huge upheaval for them. And so I was there to help lead the change management, helping them understand it, digest the change. I helped start finding my replacement, transition to my temporary replacement. And so it was a nice long transition, but I think it ended up being the best for everybody involved as far as trying to make things as least disruptive as possible, considering the change.
Right. And so how did that change? Look, that's a long, you know, you submit your resignation and you said April, June, you leave. That's more than enough notice, right? So ultimately, when you left, how did that impact you?
How did that impact me?
Yeah, the decision to finally take that leap and leave.
Yeah, that kind of surprised me that you asked me that, because I'm so used to thinking about how my changes affect other people. Oh, so refreshing. Thank you for asking. It was a bit of grief that I had to go through, you know, like really letting go of this company that I had been at for 8 years, and it had been very good to me. You know, I have no complaints. There were struggles. There were things that I learned from, things that were challenging. But at the end of the day, it was a huge change leaving something I had been at, even with different jobs, still the same company, for almost 8 years. And letting go of that network of people that, you know, on a company, you know, Slack channel or any of the other internal communication channels you use, like, oh, I could just ping someone and say hi. Now, once I left, I realized like, oh, I didn't get everybody's phone numbers or like outside email addresses, right? It was little things of like connections that you start grieving, because it's just a change, right? With any other change. My husband and I did ease the blow there a little bit by spending that next almost a month, a few weeks, going around and visiting people we hadn't been able to visit since the beginning of the pandemic. So that helped ease that transition a little bit.
That must have been nice.
Oh, yeah, yes.
That must have been nice. And so tell us a little bit now, what has happened since you left?
So since I've left, I've built up my own business, Magnanimous Leadership, that you mentioned earlier. And we've had a couple snags. And I smile because thinking back, it's like, oh, they're not really snags. They're part of the growing process, you know, for a small business. You just don't know that until you've still started a business yourself. And I've also had a couple moments of realization where, you know, just learning to give myself an extra layer of grace. Like in December, when I was reflecting on the prior year, you know, 2021, and I was struggling to understand why I hadn't gotten as far in my business as I thought I would. Right. And finally, I realized, oh, I was just burnt out. I was exhausted, you know, and everything takes longer when you're burnt out and exhausted. And so it took a few months for me to really kind of get back to myself, you know? And so 2022 has been a far more energetic, focused year, aside from the moving that we just did that put a damper on things for a little bit. But that's one of the benefits of owning your own company. You can push on the gas and ease up a little bit whenever you need to. So
no, I was just saying that's actually a perfect transition into, you know, your company, right? So tell us a little bit more about Magnanimous Leadership and the focus of your company.
Sure. So Magnanimous Leadership, I mentioned earlier, is the company that I started last year, right? After leaving my corporate gig, my full-time job. What I've done is I've built a company trying to focus on supporting leaders. What I realized working at a large corporation was that the more time I spent in leadership development and coaching leaders through transitions and big changes, was that I became more aware of friends and family outside of large corporations that weren't getting that support, either as leaders or kind of sharing their frustration with their own leaders who they didn't necessarily think had ill will, but just weren't prepared for what they were being asked to do. Right? A lot of folks kind of get thrust into a leadership role because they were really good at doing whatever they were doing before. And so someone says, well, you lead people doing that now. And those are two totally different skills. A lot of people figure it out eventually, but it just doesn't have to be that hard. So what I've done with Magnanimous Leadership is I've taken everything I learned from a large organization with lots of resources and tried to make it scalable. So I work one-on-one with leaders quite a bit. I'm also piloting a group program that takes the best of all the resources I know and brings executive coaching to leaders who are newer in their journey, right? Before they get all the way to an executive role. And I'm also hoping to eventually distill that into more scalable options for people so it can be even more accessible through either online webinars, online classes, or a book and workbooks eventually.
Very nice. And you know, that's important. That middle management tier is something that really deserves that type of focus. So it's awesome to hear that that's something you're doing. So now one of the pieces of this show is really about the advice that folks have for others. I always like to hear from our guests about, you know, what type of advice would you give to our listeners who may have a similar experience to yours, but really don't know what to do next?
If someone's in a similar experience to mine, where they are a builder, right, and they've kind of wrapped up a project, they're looking for a new one, and they're not quite sure where they're going. And that could be they're building a project or they're just kind of mastered what they're doing and they're starting to get bored. Then my biggest suggestion, actually, there's two. One is actually tell your manager about it. Managers who care may not be well equipped to have dug into and really understand your situation before. So telling them gives them that opportunity. And a lot of people who are in leadership positions want to help you find something that's interesting. And oftentimes it's a reshuffling of what's already on their team. They can give you more of what you enjoy, less of what drains you. Or it could be just keeping an eye out for you for other opportunities off the side of the desk or new roles within your same organization that might fit you better, right? Outside of putting all your eggs in your basket with your manager, you can also test stuff out on your own. One thing that I've always done is I volunteer for side projects that I find interesting, right? I'll go out in my community and find things that I can get engaged in. It's all about just testing the waters to see what fills my tank. What's going to be that next thing, that next challenge that really gets me invigorated, that makes me want to spend a bunch of time on it, right? Not watching the clock, hoping it's finally 5 o'clock, right? And so testing out a bunch of stuff, and the more people you tell about it, the more they can help you find something that really fills your tank. And then once you find it, just try to add more of that into your life, whether that's moving into a new job or just spending more time on that thing as a side project or a hobby or something outside of work too. Right?
No, I like that. And now having worked in the space where now you're working obviously with leaders and organizations, what more do you think employers could be doing to better support employees and leaders during this time?
Mm-hmm. Being the proactive participant in that conversation is big, right? So instead of waiting for people to come to you and tell you as a leader what really fills your tank or what strengths you have, right? Being proactive and getting to know your people is huge. It only takes a few minutes at a time, right? I'm not talking sit down and like interrogate them for 2 hours about what all their strengths and preferences are. Really just carve out time a few times a week to just chat with people, right? For example, I'll always remember one person on my team, a learning and development team that I had. I learned through just chatting with her that she also was a really creative person, right? She would totally refurbish furniture on the weekends or create wreaths and like gift baskets. She was a very visual, creative person. And on our team, I'm definitely not like that. I'm a very more execution-oriented strategy person. I often forget about the visual finesse. And so once I realized that, I was like, oh, would you like to do the creative visual stuff for our team and really like amp up the work product that we're doing? And she was all about it, right? That really added a layer of quality for the folks who were consuming our learning. And it gave her more on her plate that really filled her tank. And I just wouldn't have known that if I hadn't chatted with her about it.
Absolutely. You know, and people love those, I hesitate to call them stretch assignments, but just those things that really tap into, you know, some of their genuine interests. So I think that's awesome that you were able to learn that. So Marguerite, this was great. You know, I really enjoyed hearing your story and I appreciate you taking some time to talk with us. You know, you talked about magnanimous leadership. And so I'd love for you to share on the show, where can our listeners support you?
Oh, great question. LinkedIn is primarily where I focus my outreach and sharing resources. I also have a website, but following us on LinkedIn, the company page or my personal page is going to be the fastest way to get notifications whenever we release, you know, new pilot programs you can join, connecting with us for one-on-one coaching or free resources that we publish pretty regularly. You know, templates, articles for leaders to lean on.
All right. Well, that'll do it for today's episode. I hope you all enjoyed it. Again, I want to thank my guest, Marguerite, for joining us today. I'll put her information in the show notes. So thank you again, Marguerite. I hope you have a great time and I hope everyone else has a great week. So we'll see you next time. The Great Resignation, people leaving their jobs in droves. There's a lot of buzz happening in the job market of late. Now, did you or someone you know leave your job during the pandemic and want to share your story? We've been having some really good conversations in this space. So if you're interested, I'd love to have you join the program. If so, here's how you can do it. First, you can email us at hello@yileft.co. That's hello@yileft.co. Or visit us online at yileft.co. That's yileft.co. Look forward to having you join the conversation. Thanks again for listening to Why I Left. Be sure to join us next time for more stories from the Great Resignation. Visit us at www.yileft.co. That's yileft.co. And subscribe to the show on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey there, podcasters. It's Brian Acar, host of Why I Left. Are you ready to take your show to the next level? I've got a game changer for you. Meet Dave, the genius behind apodcastgeek.com and the man who keeps me and Why I Left looking and sounding so crisp. Whether you're a seasoned podcaster or just getting started, Dave's got your back. He's the go-to producer for podcasters who demand nothing but the best. At apodcastgeek.com, you can easily order your next episode. And the best part, got a special offer, is you'll receive 10% off your first order using code BA10. That's right, 10% off to kickstart your podcasting journey by simply using the code BA10 at checkout. Now, don't wait. I know you've been thinking about starting a show, and maybe this is your sign to just get out there and do it. So what I want you to do is visit apodcastgeek.com, sign up, and start creating amazing content. Dave and his team are simply amazing, and you won't regret it. At apodcastgeek.com, they're going to help you reach new heights with your podcast. And of course, tell them that Brian from Why I Left sent you. See you soon.